fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to reflect on the writing of St. John from his first letter, chapter 5. For the first 3 days, I just spent the time reflecting on the first 5 verses, which are powerful. And in a nutshell, what I've been feeling in my heart and what I wanted to communicate was the important truth of understanding who we are. John wants to tell us, look, in the Spirit of God, in your baptism, you've been born of God. You're part of God's family, living under the lordship of your elder brother, Jesus Christ. And he's empowering you, he's equipping you to overcome the world, the fallen world, the world that hates God, that resists God, that seduces us to the lust of the eyes, as John would say, and the pride of life. You can find that whole section at the beginning, it just popped into my mind here, chapter 2 of John. He said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, when John says, do not love the world, what is he saying? Don't take care of the environment. Don't take care of the creatures God has given to us. Don't steward it. Don't love your neighbor. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about the fallen dimension of the world that we live in that's under spiritual bondage, what St. Paul would talk about as this present evil age, this present darkness, the resistance of the kingdom of Satan, which is so real, and it's at work now as strong as ever. In fact, in some ways, the kingdom of darkness has gained ground at a level maybe the world's never seen before. I mean, certainly extraordinary demonic things have happened, world wars and, you know, communist atheistic states that killed tens of millions of people, unbelievably wicked, human beings falling in their pride under the subjection of the kingdom of this world, who eventually is always going to demand blood sacrifice. He's going to demand by those who come under his power, whether they know it or not, they will end up wielding a sword. They will end up taking the innocent life of millions and millions of people. I think about it a lot, the situation we live in now. I went on Wikipedia, Googled, trying to figure out, for example, how many children have been aborted since 1973 across the world. And the best stats they can come up with is somewhere between 1 billion and 1.5 or 7 billion, somewhere in there. Think about that. Why is that happening? The most innocent of all are being sacrificed. It's the world, friends. That's what the world looks like, the fallen world. And John is telling us here in the second chapter, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And we can see it every day. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and you know, the pursuit of gold. We see again, Wall Street, banks are bigger than ever. Right, the too big to fail crisis that happened in 2008, and a lot of the failure of character that led to a huge economic crisis in 2008, once again, looks like it's repeating itself in our time again. We still haven't solved huge problems of staggering debt and living on far beyond our means and things of that nature. Everybody wants the gold. The culture is constantly saying, you deserve it. Here's an easy way to get what you want. We'll give you money so you can have everything that you want on credit. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Don't love those things. is what Jesus tells us, what John the Apostle, he heard it directly from the Lord. Be in this world, but don't be of the world. Don't be a slave to the world. Your identity and your destiny belong to Christ. You're a member of his kingdom. The kingdom of God lives by very, very different values. The values of the kingdom, the realities are expressed in, let's say, Galatians. In the section in Galatians where Paul talks to us about the difference between the fruits of the Spirit, what the Spirit wants to produce in us. You know, John's telling us here in his letter that we've been given the power of God to become children of God. That's the life of Jesus in us. That's the Holy Spirit. The people of God living together, the Holy Spirit bringing us together, the same Spirit flowing through each one of us and living in each one of us, building a communion, a family of love, in love for the Father and for the sake of the world. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what he wants to produce in us. And the world that John is warning us about so clearly, and that he who loves the world hates the Father, basically, that to love the world is to resist God, period. That fallen dimension. And the characteristics of the world, Paul talks on here, he says, but if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're not under the law. He said, now the works of the flesh is that dimension of my life that's fallen and resists God. That says, no, not his will be done, my will be done. I want the lust of the eyes. I want the pride of life. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can see the sickness in our own heart and how screwed up we can be, how screwed up I can be. I love things and want things, or I'm attached to things and want to be attached to things that offend God. At the same time, there's a desire. I love God. I want to live for God, but I want to hedge my bet. I want to live in the twilight. I want to have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, because the world looks so seductive. The world looks so attractive. And Jesus said, don't be a fool. Don't attach yourself to the world, or you'll come under the judgment that's coming upon the world. It will enslave you. And the fallen nature in us, the worldliness in us, is what the enemy constantly is trying to seduce. He's trying to draw us in because of the weakness within us. And here's Paul in Galatians. He says, now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. It's not a complete list. You know, Jesus himself told the apostles, look into your heart. I can give you a new heart because you have a sick heart. Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, lust, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, murder, violence, all these things are in the human heart. And only Jesus can subdue them by giving us a new heart. He wants to do this. He said, Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So friends, there's two realities. There's a kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Judgment has already come upon the world in the cross of Jesus Christ. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and the power of sin and death has been judged and has been destroyed ultimately by Christ. He has won a victory over all of it. Its destiny is condemnation and judgment. He's going to come again in glory, and he's going to deal with all of those things finally and definitively. But between the two comings of Jesus, his mercy is going out through his church for the salvation of the whole world, so that no one would come under that judgment that's coming upon the world. Because in the end, there won't be two kingdoms. There will be one kingdom, and there will be one king. Jesus Christ is Lord. And God's mercy is to draw the entire human race into that kingdom. You don't want to be outside the kingdom when the king comes again. You will die the second death. You'll be separated from God forever. Yes, as Jesus himself taught in many places, the apostles, you'll end in hell. Eternal separation from God. The fruits of the Spirit is what Jesus wants to grow in you and me. This is how he overcomes the world that's at work against us and in us, in our flesh. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against all these, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. Paul is saying such an important truth here. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. How does that happen? What does that mean? What it means is that in baptism, the word Paul would use in, I think it's Romans chapter 6, in baptism we have died with Christ. The whole process of baptism, the old man that resists God in me, that wants lust and envy, unwillingness to forgive, all the stuff that's there, Jesus condemns it on the cross. And instead of my dying at the end of time when I face God, in ultimate judgment and dying not only physical death, but the second death of being separated from God, by God's mercy, I die with Christ in baptism. And that old thing in me, the flesh, my attachment to the world, my sin-sick nature, gets crucified and gets put to death. And so I die with Christ, and in that death, Jesus gives me a share in his Spirit, and I come alive in him. There's a new life in me. C.S. Lewis used to make the distinction, and I encourage you to read in the book, Mere Christianity. It does such a great job. There's two kinds of life in us. There's biological life, and in those who are baptized, there is the divine life, eternal life. He calls one bios, biological life, and zoe, the life that's given to us by Christ. And what we need is zoe. What we need is eternal life. We need a life that will never die. And despite what the masters of the universe are telling us now, that we're going to finding all the secrets to what's going to extend life forever, what's going to keep us from deteriorating, no matter what humanity is able to come up with. I mean, remember, we have tremendous creative power. We're made in the image and likeness of God. We can go a long way, but guess what? No scientist, no philosopher, no billionaire, no one is going to be able to give you eternal life, a share in God's life. Eternal life is not just ongoing calendar life. Eternal life is sharing in the very life and nature of God. That's what we need. We don't need more time on earth. We need God's eternal life to be able to enter into that life with him forever. That's what Christ has come to give us. And that's what John will touch on in the second section of chapter 5. I want to talk about tomorrow, kind of end our week reflecting on just this one chapter and related ideas that John reveals to us in this chapter. So it's so important for us to be able to see that I have to make a decision to make a break from that fallen world and be honest about how much the world has a hold of me, how often I've said yes to that world, and beg the Holy Spirit to break the power of that satanic hold that may be gripping us so we can come into the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.